This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world on a Friday, baby. F it Friday, football Friday, whatever you want it to be. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, give him the number.
1-800-919-MUTE 3776. Once again, 1-800-919-3776. Get on the lines early and often. It's an epic Friday. It's a little wet outside. We can be down. But when we're down, we just open the windows up, let the cool air come in, and we vent and let it all out.
I'm a warrior.
Looking at what happened yesterday to Clayton Kershaw. Should make you feel a little better. Should make you feel a little better as a Yankee fan to say, listen, I'm not the only disappointment in Major League Baseball because it looks like the Dodgers aren't going to be willing participants.
Name me another. Like, there's another. This is a guy who's a superstar. I think I've asked this question before.
Sir Chokum, greatest
regular
season pitcher of all time.
Somebody who is an absolute beast in the regular season, has been his whole career, and yet the Kwan always seems to avoid him.
So you
at
call
the biggest moment.
You call him James Harden?
Wow.
You call him James? You call him Fear the Beard? Fear the Bow?
Yeah. Instead of Big Game James, Small Game James?
Yep, exactly. Because you look at Kershaw when they need him the most, this is his narrative. This is who he is.
And it just he was pitching so well. And it just
it was
oh
all good
God.
Just
a you know what
go.
Dave Roberts said something about that. We're going to do that in audio files, which is just again it talks about it brings back to mind the analytics and why they make decisions and all that stuff. But yeah, so that series now is interesting. The Braves, hey MLB, congratulations, you're going to get Braves Rays. Good luck with that.
The young guns, it's the young guns though.
Whatever, who's watching that?
The come Dirty on. Bird's going to be watching it. The Dirty Bird's going to be watching. And let me tell you something that's going on great in my life, right?
Besides, you were a big TV star today.
Nah, man.
Resplendent.
No, see, what I want to talk about, let me tell you something. And make sure you clip this because I want to send these to these young men. Like, I come from one of the most run-down high schools in all of Detroit. Jalen went to Southwestern. I went to Southeastern. I was the first one. Well, it was this guy named Sorrell Reams that kind of went to the league, right? So I was the first one that went and left in 1998. Since I left, Will Golson comes there, Vernon's brother that plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Jonathan Hankins, who once was brought in here for the Giants, played here. But in all my years, like, you know, I've never thought that, you know, they would be, like, undefeated. They're undefeated, but that's great, right? Undefeated. Like, my school is, like, small school, right? Because what happened is everybody moved out. The state took over the school and all that type of stuff. They are yet to allow a touchdown or any points this year.
Wait, any points?
They've
shut out
five shutouts. And they're playing, because it's a shortened season,
yeah,
they're going to be playing in the state championship, my squad, and it's on Bart. Well, the field is named after me, Bart Scott Field, so that means that Will Golston, that means that Jonathan Hankins, they didn't donate enough money because they left, got paid, and left. I came back and put money back in these kids. I planted seeds, damn it. But I'm just so proud of them, you know what I mean? Because in the midst of a pandemic, you know, they stay focused. You know, they play. And, you know, to be undefeated is one thing. To be playing for the championship is one thing. But to not give up a score is historic.
That is tremendous. And it's all about what you love, defense.
Yeah, especially with this wide-open football. So,
sure.
Congratulations today. Well, I'm not going to say congratulations yet. I'm going to say good luck. Good luck.
I'm not done.
Good luck. Finish the job. I'm proud of you. Southeastern Jungleers, 30-30, what? I'm proud of you. Finish the job, damn it. Because all then right. Now I got to come over and say that y'all choked. I don't want to do that.
No.
We're going to clip that, and we're going to give that to those guys and tell them to play for the name on the front of the jersey, not the one on the back. You play for that one second.
Play for the name on the field.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, 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 exactly.
Mark Scott.
Because yeah. I need smoke.
Because you don't want him showing up if you lose.
Oh, man, because you should see what's going to happen, man. When I walk in and I see Jalen, like, yo, man. Yo, we just dominate, man. Listen, you South, but you the wrong one, Jalen. You Southwestern. Southeastern getting it done, man. And when is the last time that Southwestern put out a product, Jalen? Can you go back and buy some uniforms? I mean, can you do something? Can you give them a pep talk? Can you put in a play? Come on, Jalen. I can't say that yet, but I can say it in a minute because we've been putting them out, baby. It's been a minute. Will Golson's been in the league for a minute. We're about due for another one.
When's the game? Is it Saturday or is it coming up?
No, the game is today, man.
Today. F it Fridays. Friday night. Lights.
Yeah, man. Friday night lights, baby.
All right. So maybe Monday we'll have something great to talk about on that front. But again, 800-919-3776 is the number. Chris Canty's going to join us a little bit earlier today.
Oh, yeah. I know Chris Canty's team ain't doing his high school team. Ain't doing nothing.
No?
Yeah.
CeCe's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, 11:30, as we'll go around the league with him, NFL, and whatnot. But, Bart, I mean, when you talk about locally, teams doing things.
Whoopsies. No. It's all about how you say it. Say it right. We got one team that's 1.5 games out of first place.
Yeah.
Just 1.5 games out, baby. We can close the distance.
Do I start there?
There's a chance.
Start there? Let's start there. Gordon Damer said something this morning. You can hear Gordon Damer from 5 to 6 a.m. when you have a little puppy like I do. You're up at 5. He said something that really caught my attention. And that is that the Giants are 0-5. And yet they're in this rare must-win kind of situation this weekend, aren't they, with Washington?
Now, he's going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you.
No, they're not going to let this. Just hear me out.
Hear me out.
Before you flip out. Because he said it, and I'm like, you know what? It is interesting. Because, look, the NFC East is right now a mess, right? I mean, Dallas is 2-3, and they're in first place, and they don't have their starting quarterback, right? Then you got Philly at 1-3. You got Washington's 1-4, and then the Giants are 0-5. If the Giants win, you stay sort of in it, right? Now, you can say, what? Now, relax, because the next couple of weeks are very interesting. Their schedule goes like this. Washington in short week at Philly on Thursday. Okay, then you play Tom and Tampa after that. That's the only winning team you're playing in the next 6 weeks.
Okay.
That's it. Everybody else sucks. Then back to Washington, play them again. Then you play Philly again. Then you bye week, and then you're at Cincinnati. Are you telling me that the Giants couldn't at least be, what, 4-6? Four and six.
Just keep us engaged to Thanksgiving. Just give us something to watch Thanksgiving weekend.
No, it would be 4-7. They get 4 wins out of the next 6. They'd be 4-7. Now that's obviously there's nothing to write home about. But look at it. And again, if you're Joe Judge, the fighting Joe Judges,
yeah,
you're trying to win. You're trying to prove something. You're trying to get better each week. You're trying to finish the season where people say they've got something happening there. So this is your stretch. Because, by the way, the last 5 weeks of the season, Bart, at Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, at Baltimore, Dallas.
Yeah, so basically you want to get our hopes up.
This is your season.
Remember the great white height?
Yeah.
Right? When he was fighting him, he was out of shape. And Damon Wayans got in the ring, and he hit him with the old Mr. Roper, hit him with the hook. And it didn't work. He said, you trying to embarrass me in front of my family? He kicked it. He knocked him out. Yeah. He's like, hey, no rematch. And then the little kid was there in the wheelchair because he thought he was going to be able to walk again. And he dropped his flag. That's what you're going to be like when you're going to be sitting around Thanksgiving, and they're going to draw you back in. They're going to pull you back in. They're going to draw you back in, and then they're going to get mollywopped. So I hope that if they're going to get mollywopped.
This is it, though. The combined record for the next 6 weeks is 8-19. You're playing, and it's all division opponents.
Washington, Philly,
with Cincinnati and Tampa thrown in there as well. You're telling me you can't get at least 4 dubs here? You can't try to get some wins? Can't try to do something to just stay in it somehow, some way? Now, I know the finish is crazy, but I'm looking at this, and I heard Gordon. I'm like, what is Gordon talking about? Let me check this out. And then I looked at it, and I thought, I need reasons to watch games, right, Bart? Like, you can't just, like, when you start telling me you're tanking and you're not trying and your team sucks, like, it's so hard to keep watching these games when you know the team's bad. But I'm sorry. right now, this stretch, if you're a Giants fan, this is your time. You watch these next 6 weeks, and if Joe Judge can do something with this group, I know the last 5 weeks are brutal. I'm not telling you they're going to make the playoffs. What I'm saying is I need the Giants to stay relevant so that they show you we are playing for something, that we have a future with this group. That's what I'm trying to see here, and these next 6 weeks could do that starting Sunday. Okay, now, you go ahead and rip me apart for this.
No, listen. I understand what you're trying to say, and I understand that it could happen. It's like that one time, right? It was like the Mighty Ducks. Like, you know, it's like all we have to do is be better that one time. Like, you don't always have to be the best team.
That's miracle you're saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, miracle. You know what I mean? You just got to be the best team that day.
We played them 10 times, they'd probably beat us 9.
Right.
But not tonight.
Exactly. So you have to understand, and what the Giants are going to have to recognize is that, hey, the other squads are looking at you the same way that you're looking at them. So at no point can you cheat the process. At no point can you say, oh, Washington, we're better than them. Because it's different, right? Because it's easy to stay relevant in a shootout when both teams don't have a defense. It turns out to who has the ball last. Mm-hmm. But what I'm concerned with, glass half empty,
okay,
is that Thomas can get exploited this week against Chase Young. And then how can you ruin this kid and make
Chase
him
Young's
feel like
playing with a groin issue, though. I don't know if he's 100%.
Okay, so they
but
put Montez.
Right about Thomas, though.
Okay,
they put.
Okay, I'm sorry. Montez Sweat. I'm sorry. I'll just put 4-6 on. Oh, and never mind. Montez Sweat, you tired? You tired? You want to take a break? Okay, Ryan Kerrigan. Go ahead. Oh, you only got 98 sacks as a career.
Thomas has got to stay inside on his block.
They better give him some help. He needs some milk. They better give him formation left chips, all that type of stuff. But
they're
going
to kill you,
Lionheart. Lionheart, don't you know that man going to kill you, Lionheart?
I thought you were going there.
Listen, they got to give this man some help. And listen, one thing they have to do is make sure that they don't turn the ball over. Because when you have pass rushers like this, and you don't know when anybody can be around you at any time, not only is Chase Young good at sacking, you look at what he did his first game, he had 2 sacks. I believe he had 4 fumbles, so he's taking the next step and trying to get the ball out. So we need Junior Whopper Hands to not burp the baby, hold on to the ball, because if it's not coming from the left side, it can be coming from the right side. If it's not coming from the right side, remember, they got maybe the best all defensive line when you think about Alan Payne in the middle as well. So everybody's going to get tested. They're going to have to be up for the task. Let's see if Jason Garrett can come up with a formation that causes problems and issues for that defense. But listen, to your point, all you have to be is the best of the worst. So you have a division, and you're fortunate enough that you stink, that you suck in the same year that everybody else stinks and sucks, right? And we remember this happening when the Seattle Seahawks hosted the Saints, when they had a less than 500 rating. They were 7-9, and they beat the Saints. The crazy part is, if the Giants are able and fortunate enough to win the division, because the division's so bad, they will probably host a wild card series.
Hilarious.
And how crazy would that be? I don't care what the record is at all. Once you get there, you start getting confidence.
You took it way further. I won't even put that in the air of winning the division. I'm just saying, when you're trying to build something,
I mean, the same.
You need to show tangible evidence that you're heading in the right direction. We said this about the Jets. You need to see. Record is record. I need to know by the end of the season that this thing is trending in the right direction, and right. I'm looking forward to next year. And that's what I think Joe Judge has got to do with the Giants. They're 0-5, but they've been fairly competitive 0-5, other than obviously the stinker against the Niners. They have been a fairly competitive team. Now they got to start learning how to win. Red zone has to obviously be something that's more effective. Yeah. You're right, though. The scary thing about this game is that Washington is an absolute beast when it comes to getting after the quarterback. They are an absolute beast. Now, they also give up sacks too. Let's not mistake it. So the Giant defense can feast here, too. But the Giants, by the way, they're the second worst team in the league in pass rush win rate. No. Second worst. The only team worse than them are the Lions.
Wow. That's
so 32% of the time they're winning, which is a really bad percentage.
Yeah.
And so that's the issue you certainly worry about. Daniel Jones versus the Washington, that front line, the front defensive line for Washington.
They handle Aaron Donald. They handle Aaron Donald.
Or was he bored?
Well, he's bored or whatever. They had a plan. They had a plan for him. They had a plan for Aaron Donald. So they played well their last two games. And listen, sometimes when you do everything the right way, it doesn't guarantee success. But you know, the fact that they're doing the right things, they just can't finish. And if you catch a team like Washington that's sleepy, that's not paying attention, that's overlooking, that's feeling themselves because they have one win, then you can steal one. And if you
how are you feeling yourself at 1-4?
Because
your backup quarterback, who's a little banged up, and your backup quarterback behind him.
Well, they wait for Alex Smith to come in and save the day.
Save the day. I mean, it's a great story.
They want him to be Teddy Bridgewater. Like, he's trying to be the Teddy Bridgewater story, even though he's older. He's trying to be the Teddy Bridgewater story.
It's scary when he's out there. It makes you worry. But anyway, that's the reason why I feel like watching that game. If you're a Giants fan, you think I'm crazy. I want to hear from you. Because if you're already giving up hope at 0-5, you're not telling me these next couple of weeks, these next 6 weeks, you don't look at the schedule and say,
it's Groundhog
this is
Day
my
for
time
the
to win. This is my time to enjoy. So Giants fans, honestly, that's what I want to know from you. Now, on the Jets side of things, Bart, after the show, it was a couple hours after the show, is when Le'Veon Bell did sign with the team. That team, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, boy.
My God. I mean, that's where I said he should go.
There you go, come
go ahead and get that ring now.
And he got a homecoming. Oh, I got 5 days off. That's good. I get my body nice and healthy because I'll clear in 5 days. I have to wait 5 days. Oh, by the way, who we have after those five days over with? Who's my opponent? Oh, yeah. What's up, Adam Gase?
New York J-E-T-E Jets.
Man, I tell you what, man. He going to mess around and make a diss record. You know what I mean? He going to make a diss record and go at everybody, man.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Life's a Gamble was a great piece of art. What do you think he's going to do now when he got that hot fire on him?
So Jamal Adams escapes. He goes to Seattle. Now their defense obviously not great. He's banged up, but still he's in a much better as far as winning situation.
Yeah, he's winning.
Le'Veon Bell escapes and he goes to a winning situation in Kansas City, and something that's going to be now amazing to see him.
Let's find the next disgruntled star. Who wants to be the next disgruntled star?
Man, all right, but
Jay's breath stinks. Get me out of here.
Now take a listen. It might be your guy, Avery Williamson. This sounds like a hostage video, man. Like, take a listen to this exchange and his reply to the question that is asked about basically what the Bell trade, kind of the message sent from that in that situation. Take a listen to this.
Avery, does it send any kind of a message to the players that maybe, you know, they're looking to get younger guys in there? Like, what kind of message do you think it sends when someone like him gets cut?
I mean, nobody's safe, you know. It's a production business, you know, and they, you know, they're trying to win, you know what I mean? It's always, I feel like, you know, it's just always, you gotta be on point with everything. So, it's just one of those things, man, that, it can happen to anybody, honestly. So,
I mean,
he's reading from a script.
That's enough for him.
It sounds like he's reading a script. My name's Avery Williams. Say it right. My name's Avery Williams. I want to be here.
Is he playing the C game?
Yeah, Avery Williams.
There he goes.
Okay.
Avery Williams.
Right, here we go.
See ya.
Tear it up. Hi. My name is Avery Williams.
There it goes!
And I want to nominate myself, man.
See ya!
I ain't buy in. I ain't do my rehab. I had film study, and I ain't even turn it on, man. Get me the hell out of here. Hey, Avery, I need to call Avery. Matter of fact, what we going to do during the break, we going to get a phone, and I'm going to call Avery Williams FaceTime, and I'm going to have general conversation. Like, hey, Avery, how's it going? He's like, hey, what's up, Bart? Hey, Avery, blink three times blink three times if you're being held against your will.
Nobody's safe.
How about that reaction? Nobody's safe. We could all get got.
Help
however you say something like that.
Help me.
Nobody's safe.
Get out. Hey, you want another moment from the Get Out movie? You know, Sink, right? You know that whole thing? Listen to this. Here's Dowell Loggins, right? He's the offensive coordinator who decided that, you know what, I don't want the play calling. Adam, this is for you to do. We all decide you should be making these play calls, right? Loggins explains something. He says that he puts this out publicly, and this is the ultimate issue. And to me in the locker room, this has got to cause issues. Take a listen to what he talks about. Why there's issues with the team, especially on offense.
Our issues on offense are bigger than play calling right now. It comes down to execution. It comes down to making sure that your guys in the right spot. So whoever calls the play is not converting the third and one. It's not
nobody safe.
The one last week in the game. And those are things that come down to details. It's detail of the coaches putting those guys in the right spots and making
nobody
sure
safe.
The right looks. the players execute the fundamentals. It's the coaches making sure that an individual, that the time you have, you make the most of it, and those guys are prepared to execute.
Nobody says
very little of it is play calling, and if there was ever a problem with that, the staff would have no problem telling whoever that, you know, the boss, Coach Gase, that that's an issue.
Nobody says
we have a lot more issues on that.
Enough of him.
Hey Adam, I read it just how you told me to. I read it just how you want to. You better put that on.
It's the players' fault is what you're getting there. They're not executing something that at practice that they're not executing something they practice directed by the coaches.
Old strategy, Cotton. Of course, everything works in practice. Everything works in practice because you're going against your team. Everything's gonna work. Consider who you're going against in practice. The team that you go against on Sunday looks nothing like the team you go against.
Of course not. But how, if you're a player, Bart, how are you feeling right now?
I feel like, man, this dude ain't taking no accountability. All of a sudden, it's all on us. Like, man, come on, bro. Like, you can get.
What do you always say
play.
if you're not
if you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen?
Yeah, you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen.
Like, come on, bro. Like, you're killing me, Petey. You got to tell me. Like, come on, man.
All right, 800-919-3776.
Oh, we hit rock bottom here, man.
We got Candy coming up in a minute here. Let's grab Bob and Comac real quick, Bob.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Love the show.
Right.
Two comments. I guess Bart and Alan. With Le'Veon Bell, you know, we're going to be paying a guy actually to score against us in a couple of weeks, which is about as low as you can get. And then that was serious. And I don't know, Bart, how many times you've seen that in the NFL. I know it's been done in baseball. And here's the second question. And, you know, we cut guys, we save money. And, Alan, you can chime in. I'm afraid the Jets are turning into the Knicks, where no one wants to come to them. You know, Durant didn't want to come. We got Johnson last year, the quarterback, cornerback.
Who
just checked out on us for the money. So yeah, we're going to save money. We got $30 million under the cap. Who's going to want to come to this franchise out dysfunctional?
Bob, that is a fair parallel to make, man. I can't argue with you. Thanks for the call.
But the difference is they did the right thing for players. So veteran players going to say, listen, they could have held Le'Veon Bell hostage. They could have, you know, said, we're paying you. If we don't get any compensation back, then we're not going to let you go. They ate that money and decided to let him go so that he can go and try and up his value so people can see if he can still play or not. If he can't be successful and produce with the Kansas City Chiefs, then he's done. Nobody's going to pick him up. But if he balls out, then he may have another life. He may have a second act. He may decide to say, you know what, I want to stay here with the Chiefs. Or somebody else may say, you know what, Le'Veon Bell still can't play. Because when you watch him on film and his productivity with the Jets, you're like, man, who is this guy? He's getting hit in the backfield. His average is – I mean, you talk about one of the most productive backs in his first 6 years in the history of the game. He was up there with, Priest Holmes as far as his yardage to the game, 120 yards a game. Never been done. With the Jets, 40 yards difference. So is it the 40-yard difference? Is it him or is it the team that he's playing with? Because he's always played with a team with weapons. And he knows how to be effective when he has a rare weapons around him. And he still gets his touches and he still is able to be one of the best players with a group of good players. Right? We see that when he had Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders. He had, you know, he had Ben Roethlisberger.
When you think about it, you really, that suddenly becomes a game where, as a, how hard of a game is that to watch as a Jets fan? I know for me, that will not be easy to watch. I love watching Mahomes, but I don't know if I want to watch that.
And guess who's going to be asking to get out? Either Hewitt or Avery Williams, because they're going to draw that assignment because somebody got to get Kelce, Harmon, Sammy Watkins. Help me. Ain't no help. Who we going to double, bro? We doubling Tyreek Hill.
Avery,
we doubling Travis Kelce. who out there to help you? What, you want us to drop a nose guard? Like, bro, you by yourself. We out of people. They got five receivers out there with Le'Veon Bell. That's five receivers. You got to check Le'Veon. Who going to get the help? You got DeShear over there. It's like, oh, my God. Oh, God. Please. You talk about a comeback curl. I mean, how many yards is DeShear going to stay off Tyreek Hill? He might be 20 yards off. Like, listen.
Seriously, yeah. Chris Kenny joins us normally at noon, but he wants to get on the show earlier. I don't blame him. So he joins us right now, and CeCe, I don't know if you were able to catch some of the open that we had here, but Bart just reenacted basically what looked like a hostage video by Avery Williamson yesterday with the media.
Oh, no, I heard it. I absolutely heard it. And I wanted to ask Bart firsthand. Alan, I couldn't wait to get on the show to ask Bart Scott what is going on over there in Florham Park. I got to know.
Yeah, man.
I got to know. You take your best skill position player and you decide you got no more use for him. You cut him. Then he gets picked up by the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the most explosive offenses the NFL has ever seen.
But Chris,
and he's coming away from a situation where he was in the worst offense that the NFL has this year. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm just asking if Bart Scott can explain it to me so I can understand it.
No, absolutely. This is Joe Douglas saying, I'm the adult in the room. If you're not going to use him, if he's not part of the game plan, then let him go. Let him be free. And we're going to bite the bullet. We're going to pay whatever we have to pay him. But if we have no use and he's not part of our plans going forward next year, then we need to see what Piran is all about. Frank Gore, you go to the third down back. We're going to see if this guy can be, if he can be Sean Green. We're going to see if this guy can be Kareem Hunt. Let's see if this guy has those type of intangibles. Because remember, Kareem Hunt coming from Kent State wasn't a household name. But, he had household productivity. And we see what he's doing there in Cleveland. And we see that it wasn't just about, Kansas City and Andy Reid. So you got to see and start evaluating in the early time, in the early part of the season, let these young guys play to see if they deserve to be here, either being back in part of the back end of the roster or the front end, see if one of these guys can ascend. And I think Le'Veon Bell's presence was really suffocating the fact that P. Ryan, who they believe in and drafted in the fourth round, and running backs can translate, to productivity from college to pros faster than any other position. But also you stay faced because they didn't do what was best for the Jets. They did what was best for Le'Veon Bell, and that rings positive for guys that say, if things don't work out, they're not going to hold me hostage. They let Jamal go. They let me go. I mean, they let Le'Veon go. And now you can move on and you can cut the cord. But I think this was Joe Douglas saying, Yeah, I can make the decisions. If y'all want to dance around and say we're fine and his hamstring hurt, no, it don't. His hamstring hurt, yeah, don't. Then he hurt his hamstring. Then, Adam Gase is great. We have great conversations. And that relationship is not a great relationship. Then, get the elephant in the room out of there. But I think Joe Douglas might say, Guess what, Adam? You're next. And I know we're friends, but this is professional. I only get an opportunity to be a executive, maybe once, maybe twice if I'm lucky. You're on your second team, and you've crashed and burned already. And I'm not going to go down with you on the ship. I appreciate you reaching out and getting me an opportunity, but let's be real. Joe Douglas is going to get an opportunity at the end of the year anyway.
It ain't show friends, it's show business.
Okay, now, Bart, I hear all of that, what you were talking about. But first of all, let's start with the whole LaMichael Perine and all of the other young players.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs don't feel like Le'Veon Bell's presence is going to stunt Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They don't feel like that. They invested a first-round draft pick in this dude.
They have
a
culture.
They feel like Bell's presence is going to stunt his development in any way. So I guess I got to look at that a little funny when you give that explanation.
Okay, well, let's
and then
stop.
When you, hold on, let me finish. Let me finish.
Okay, don't.
Let me finish. Okay. I don't want it to devolve into a presidential debate. Let me finish making my points, and then I'll get a mic back to you.
Nobody's safe.
Exactly, nobody's safe. But then the other part about the organization doing what's in the best interest of Le'Veon Bell. I have no doubt that Le'Veon Bell is in a much better situation than he was 48 hours ago. But from my vantage point, it feels like Joe Douglas is doing everything that he can to support his head coach, much more than it's about trying to support Le'Veon Bell. And here's why I say that. Le'Veon Bell was going out there subtweeting why he didn't get more targets in the passing game in that matchup that they had against the Cardinals last week. And that's when they had to sit down and they just decided that it was in the best interest of all if we part company. It's clear how the guys in that Jets locker room feel about Le'Veon Bell. They were surprised by it. They were taken back by the organization's decision to make that move. And I'm pretty sure the reason why is that they look at a player with that kind of talent and they're wondering, well, this guy seems like he should be a part of the solution. Why are we getting rid of guys that have the talent to help us compete? The fact that you have a head coach that said we've got no use for him doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially when you look at it through the lens of Andy Reid, who is one of the most innovative offensive minds the game has ever seen, saying
that's the key.
Yeah, we need that guy. That guy can help us compete for a championship, help us defend our championship from this season. That's the part of it that doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, so let me explain. Right, let me jump in. Let me jump in first. To you again.
I'll let you do that. But let me jump in first. Again, I'm being Chris Wallace here.
No, you're not being Chris Wallace because it's not going to be that kind of party today, Alan. Okay. It's not going to be that. We're just having a conversation.
You're right, it's not. All right? I'm in charge, boys. Anyways, what one thing, though, about like what you said there is that's been the argument about Gase is the fact that it's basically my system, and if you don't fit in it, then you don't fit. Whereas like Andy Reid and others would say, all right, I got a piece here. Let me see how I can work this in so it works for us. That's one argument. But, you know, the stuff that Bart and I were talking about, which is this feeling of what's going on in Florham Park, which is the question you asked him, and we played the Avery Williams, and we played the whole idea, no one's safe. Believe it or not, Adam Gase responded to that this morning. This is what he said.
I mean, if that's what he thinks, that's what it is. I mean, he's just being honest with you. I mean, that's hard for me to explain. I think every day is competition. Everybody's fighting for their jobs every day, whether you're a player or a coach.
See, so nobody's safe because Avery Williamson said that because Avery Williamson felt like they were trying to cut him, but because C.J. Mosley opted out, they didn't cut him and they kept him on, and then they didn't play him. They played Cashman, who's younger than him, but he was making $7 million, and he took a pay cut, so to speak, and he renegotiated his contract or redid his contract, and then so Avery Williams knows firsthand what it feels like to be like that guy that don't know if today's your last day. And the only reason he's there because they need healthy bodies, right? So, but back to your original question, they did what was right for Le'Veon. This has nothing to do with Adam Gase. You know, for me, this is McCagney saying, listen, this is $15 million, and we got to out next year. He's not going to be here. He know he's not going to be here. He knows he's going to be a cap casualty, so let's let him go early so we can evaluate. So why would you have him here running the ball? He's not going to help us win any games. He's not going to, get us to the playoffs. When Andy Reid is saying, guess what? Yeah, we got a young quarterback, a young running back, but we need a closer. We need a guy that's big enough and smart enough to handle some of these exotic blitzes. One thing that Le'Veon Bell excels in is his blitz pickup and third down pass coverage. And he's a guy that can salt the game away because they don't have Williams. He's a guy that can do on that 4-minute offense and take 7-8 minutes off the clock in one of those 13 play drives, because you can't keep asking Mahomes to keep throwing the ball because
okay,
the clock stops.
Let me ask you a question. I just want to ask you a question because you just said something right there. So Le'Veon Bell can help the Kansas City Chiefs, but he's not capable of helping the New York Jets.
Exactly. Just like Jamal couldn't help the New York Jets. Just like Jamal really ain't doing nothing in Seattle. His greatness does not time up with the team. He's a finishing piece. So when he was in Pittsburgh, he was a finishing piece because you had Antonio Brown out there, you had Emmanuel Sanders out there, you had Big Ben, you had Heath Miller. He was a finishing piece, just like Khalil Mack, and his greatness didn't time up with the Raiders, so they got rid of his ass, and he was a great player. These are finishing pieces. The Jets are years away.
I don't want to conflate the conversation because I feel like you're talking about compensation and contracts versus what a guy brings to the table on the field in terms of how he can help the team. All right. So I hear what you're saying in terms of the contract part and it not timing up. But I guess my basic question is this. If he has the talent and the skill level to contribute to a team that's trying to defend the championship, why can't your head coach find a way to use him with an offense that's trying to create an identity and a young franchise quarterback that's trying to find
his way? Because you don't have Eric Fisher, and because you don't have Mitchell Schwartz, you don't have Assimilate, you don't have the players that can accentuate what he does well. So what you got to do is throw the ball a million times and hope that your quarterback can get the ball out. And now you want to say who's going to be here with him, right? So now, like, if
you're going to throw the ball more.
No, I'm going to run this young dude with no scar tissue, and I'm going to see if he can be something and he can take the hits. He going to get his – P. Ryan's going to get his ass knocked off. But we're going to see if he got what it takes to stand up because he's cheap and he's part of the solution going forward, right? So, like, you're going to put him out there and put him in the fire. Say, okay, youngster, let's see what you got. And usually this happens around week 8, week 9. It's just happening so early because the Jets are so awful that it's no need to delay the process. Let's put the young dude out there and see what the hell he can do. Let's see if he got enough kahunas to step up and say, you know what? Yeah, y'all knocking me down. Like I can remember going against a young Marshawn Lynch, right? And we were the Ravens, and he was the Buffalo Bills. and we were beating the hell out of them. But this young dude with the ice grill, with the visor, would not quit. And I remember hitting him and knocking his ass out and standing over him and saying, "This, you gonna get this all damn day." And you know what that same dude did? He looked at me and he said, "I know, but you're gonna have to kill me." I want to see if P-Ron got that type of moxie and that belief. Like, listen, you might be kicking my ass today, but guess what? I'm gonna be part of this team, and I'm gonna see you, and you're gonna have to bring that same damn energy when Joe Douglas gives me some building blocks, and I'm the San Francisco. Remember what it was like for Vernon Davis to be a great player and be playing with San Francisco, and he was getting his ass kicked under Mike Nolan. He's getting his ass kicked underneath Mike Singletary. But then when Harbaugh came there, he was getting the last laugh because he was in a Super Bowl. As bad as that organization has been, Vernon Davis has been to a Super Bowl, and I didn't. I was just on a consistent team that was always winning, but he was on one that was getting the ass kicked, and then he stayed long enough where he was there for the turnaround, and he got the last laugh because he played some great football and played on some good teams. He had some great experiences later in his career. That's what it's about. It's going to be 3 years before this team is ready to win. You got to tear it down before you build it up, and sometimes you got to get rid of great players, and sometimes it is no compensation. Sometimes you just get money off the books. Sometimes you're saying, okay,
well,
man,
you're not
just
getting any money off the books with Le'Veon Bell. You're not really getting any money off the books.
What I'm saying is eventually you're getting rid of him. You're saying bye. See you later, right?
Yeah,
sorry.
you're still paying him. I understand there's offset language in the contract, but he's still got $6 million to him from the Jets.
Yeah,
like
paying him. But you got so much money, man. So to get him out of there and say, you know what, I'm going to eat that. I'm going to accept my mistake. This was McCadden's mistake, not Joe Douglas' mistake. So I'm going to get his ass up out of here because it's going to become bad energy after a while. You know, Jamal was all on and everything, right? And then he became a problem. He started to affect his teammates.
I'm not talking about Jamal, though. I don't want to get the conversation too far on a tangent.
Well, I'm just talking about great players.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying you're talking about them cutting Le'Veon Bell a couple of weeks ago and paving the way for LaMichael Perine. And I will agree with you somewhat when you say the rest of the season is about seeing, you know, what your young players have to offer. But I mean, the primary focus has to be trying to evaluate Sam Darnold. To me, he's the young player that matters the most in terms of evaluating, because if this team continues to trend in the direction that it's going, Joe Douglas could have a tough decision to make when it comes to next year's draft and having the number one overall pick. So I guess when I look at the Le'Veon Bell decision, I wonder, is Le'Veon Bell a piece that could help Sam Darnold in terms of the organization being able to see what he is and him having another weapon on the field that's dynamic, that has a lot of different dimensions that put challenges in front of opposing defenses? Or is Sam Darnold better off without Lev Bell? And I have a hard time believing that Sam Darnold would be better off without Lev Bell if Andy Reid and Brett Veach from Kansas City are saying Pat Mahomes is better off with Lev Bell in the backfield with him.
No,
that's the part of it that I can't reconcile.
No,
I can't square that circle.
I get that.
It makes sense to you, but it still doesn't make sense to me.
I get that, but they were trying to give him Le'Veon Bell, but they only give Le'Veon Bell for 20 snaps. So while they're trying to do both at the same time. They were giving him Le'Veon Bell, but not giving him Le'Veon Bell as much as Le'Veon Bell wanted to be used, and he became that squeaky wheel. So it's like, listen, we only going to put 15, 20 plays in for you. We want to get the youngster some plays to see what he can do, and we want to try and keep you fresh. And the last thing we want to do is for you to get injured, Lev Bell, and then we got to pay you an injury settlement on top of that.
All right, let's leave it right there, guys, because this is, you know, again, these are great debates.
We saw with Robert Griffin III. He could have helped them still win, but they set his ass down, and they set Kaepernick's ass down, too, because they was like, you know what, this dude get hurt, now we got to pay him an injury settlement on top of everything.
But I think the interesting point here, and again, you guys, it's always great when you guys go head-to-head on this stuff, is that I know what Chris is saying, and I feel the same way. It's that Lev was supposed to help Sam Darnold, and it's pretty clear the coach either doesn't know or doesn't want to use Bell in a way to help Sam Darnold. So if that's the case, don't waste his time anymore. We know the coach isn't going to be around here much longer, but at least we can help Lev move on to a better situation instead of have a player who's disgruntled and whatever else. It's a bad look. So I understand Bart's take. I understand Chris's take. I'm Switzerland. I'm staying right here in the middle.
Ask the people who they with.
All right, 800-919-37. Chris, by the way, thanks for, as always,
happy staycation, too.
As always, yeah, all the best to you. It's like I said, it's always fun when these two guys butt heads because the passion's there, but also the points that each make, it's hard to argue with either. But whose side are you on this argument about Le'Veon Bell? The statement from the Colts... it's pretty simple. As you remember, like if you were paying attention earlier this morning, and this seems to be like a regular thing now in the NFL where they have a couple of positive tests. I think it was like four that tested positives. So they were retested. So they gave an update today, and that is earlier this morning we were informed that four individuals within the organization tested positive for COVID-19. The four positive samples were retested and have been confirmed negative. After consultation with the NFL and Chief Medical Officer Dr. Alan Sills, the team will open the practice facility this afternoon under the league's intensive protocol and will continue preparation for Sunday's game against Cincinnati. So this seems to be happening a lot, or at least frequently recently, where these negative tests are being retested and they're turning up. I mean, these positive tests are retested and they're turning up negative.
I mean, you never know with the reagents and stuff like that. It's going to be that what you don't want is you don't want to get a false negative. You know what I mean? And then have outbreak, and then you got a contract trace and all that type of stuff where everybody tests well, and then you're trying to figure out where the outbreak coming from. So, I mean, they're doing their due diligence. Some of these Abbott tests, not all tests are created equal. I think the Jets may use a different type of test. They had a scare as well. You know, a lot of these teams kind of outsource with the medical people that they work with. And I think the Jets are Atlantic Health. I think the Giants, I believe, is something else. Everybody's just doing the best they can, and sometimes going to be these false positives, and you just got to retest and contact trace. And like I said, it's great with the you have those devices that blink and they remember where you're at. If you get too close to somebody, they blink, and they're easy to be able to find out where you've been and who you've been around. So that's why they're able to do this so fast.
All right, so but at least the NFL continues on. They don't have to worry about having to deal with another game cancellation. Remember, there's no Thursday night football last night. We had a Tuesday night game this week instead. Speaking of games this week, SNY and 98.7 ESPN have a Jets prize package for you. Tune into SNY, the TV home of the Jets, for Jets postgame live starring Bart Scott with Jonah Schwartz and Janae Coakley following Sunday's game against the Dolphins. Catch the Jets quote of the game, then tune into our show starting at 11 a.m. on Monday, as you know, for your chance to win official Jets merchandise courtesy of 98.7 ESPN and SNY. Jets postgame live only on SNY.
Get your New York sports here.
All right, let's grab some calls. 800-919-3776. We'll do Blitz or Prevent. We'll go around the NFL. A couple of really interesting games and a very big college football game this weekend as well to talk about. Let's grab some calls. So Mike in Linden. Mike, start us off.
What's going on, guys?
How we doing?
I just wanted to say I couldn't agree with Bart's philosophy more, but the problem is you get rid of Lev Bell and you want to see what P. Ryan could do. Lev Bell wasn't there for 4 or 5 weeks. He played a half. How many carries did P. Ryan get last game? Zero.
Well, remember.
So why? I don't understand. And then the coach has the nerve to say, I don't want to put too much on his plate. He gets zero calories. Zero.
Well, remember the other guy that got cut, too, because he couldn't pick up third down protections. And they got him out of there, too. The guy that they were trading for that ended up getting cut. And then now they cut him as well. From, was it Badge or something?
Oh, Balazs.
Yeah, Balazs. Balazs is out of there as well.
But they have to get rid of Gase because he's stunting the growth of everybody on
the team. Bro, he's on deck. Yeah. He's on deck, but this is the thing. You don't fire Gase. You say, listen, if I got to sit here and watch this crap, then you're going to watch it too, because guess what?
You're taking every L on your record, and you're
going to have to talk to the New York media every single day.
Yeah. It's almost every like if you fire time. Him, yeah. I'm paying you, and to you get away. To escape this, and somebody else has got to take these L's?
Yeah, he's going
to
be sitting in the Bahamas like, man, no, this
you're
team
just gonna either You're going to have to do a better job.
Right, this team exactly. sucks. Oh,
exactly.
Man. Hey, excuse Collecting me, go sign. Can I have a little bit more Gray Poupon? Yeah. I'm like, well, hell no.
KG,
I want you stressed out too.
KG in Plainfield. Go ahead, KG.
Oh, that's my hood. What up, Plainfield?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I agree with Bart, but I also agree with Chris Canty. What Chris Canty said was what should have been going on, but the proof is in the pudding, it wasn't. So I agree with what Bart was saying. And the second that I really enjoy hearing
bro,
you
run
guys
up the
talk,
steps, man. You run up the steps. You good? Hold on. We're going to give you 10
working,
seconds.
I'm working.
You don't want to get a damn heart attack.
Oh, you got the mask on. We're going to let you catch your breath. Man.
Working.
No,
man,
I feel you.
Yeah, and I'm at work. Yeah.
That's what's up. Now keep going.
I really enjoy hearing you guys, and
you know, I wish I could hear you guys talk a little bit more often, man.
Oh, we try. Like that's why we made Chris a regular thing on Fridays for Football Fridays. But that's always going to be something we do even going forward. Because I love when Bart and Chris talk. Like I said, and thanks KG for the call. I love when these two guys get together because the passion is at an all time high. Their knowledge is off the charts, and so when they have a disagreement, it's fantastic because you just sit back. Like, did you even hear me? I never shut up, and you didn't hear me at all during that segment because I was too busy listening. Like, I enjoy it. I think it's great, and we're going to certainly do more of it. All right, we've got to take Tessa and Wes Caldwell. We got to take
Tessa. Let's do it.
Come on, Tessa.
You know it. Listen.
Did you like my Giants take, Tess? Did you happen to hear it?
Oh, of course. That's why I was like, come on. They're getting on the Jets too much. I want to talk about the Giants. But listen, all week I've been swamped with work. But you know it was good for me not to call anybody because I was tired of the haters talking about LeBron and all the stuff like that. So whatever with that, we won. But Alan, real quick, another note. I just want to tell you real quick. I didn't know you had a beagle. My parents bought my little brother a beagle. They are out of control. They are the cutest little dogs in the world.
You got to check my Instagram. I have a picture of them on my Instagram.
Yeah, my god sister told me. She's like, you know your favorite guy, Alan? I was like, yeah. She's like, they have a beagle. Oh, the Kobe. So I just want to let you know, we have a beagle, too. He's three. Yeah. He's out of control.
I have him in a little pen upstairs, like when I'm on the show, because I don't want to get into stuff. He jumped out of it yesterday, came down into my studio.
Oh,
like, all of a sudden he's walking in. I'm like, what are you doing? So
yeah,
I had to put
over.
I got a second pen, put it on top of the other pen, got some zip ties. This thing is like it's, I call it Fort Kobe.
And then they're going to find a way.
He ain't breaking out of there. He's on the
way,
rock right now. This is
remember,
Alcatraz.
Alan, they're hunters by nature. That's what they do. They bang, they sniff. Yeah, you're in for it. Great dogs, but you're in for it. They're awesome. Our little beagle is called Doogie. He's out of control. But anyway, so I just want to get back to the Giants. First of all, thanks for the gimmicks with the Jets. So I needed a laugh. You know, I always need to laugh with that stuff. But as far as the Giants, no, plain and simple, you're right. This is must win, and I think we will win. I don't know if it's going to be four, but I think we can at least get three wins out of this. This is pivotal because, you know, we are showing life. We are showing that, oh, wow, this team is really rebuilding, and they might have something in the next season. Maybe we can get 6-7 wins, and the season after that, we'll be ready to roll. However, they need to go back to that old philosophy. Daniel Jones needs to carry that freaking ball around like it is his freaking lung. Need to be sweating
like
at
the,
it.
Like the program?
Everything when you least expect it. Yes, just like the program. Because at the end of the day, it's going to come down to him. It's going to come down to him when this front line in Washington is really good. When they coming around that corner sweating, they know you love fumbling. They know that's your best friend. So that's what they're going to try to do. That's what's going to come down with this win. I'm telling you. If he does not turn that ball over, I guarantee you we're going to win. But you're
guarantee.
Right, Alan. We're going to beat Washington. We're going to beat I felt like we're going to win 3-4. Because Cincinnati, a little bit, they're good. They're just,
right.
You know, not showing it, but they're all right. But anyway, I agree with you 100%. We're showing life. I really like Joe Judge. He holds himself accountable. He makes that culture better. You know, Adam Gase can learn a little from him.
Practicing in the rain today, Tess. Practicing in the rain, old school.
Real quick,
he's
Bart,
such a
when
bad
you were
guy.
Talking about Marshawn Lynch, And how he said, no, you're going to have to kill me first. Come on. Your running back you're talking about, he don't have nobody to instill that in him. Adam Gase not talking about put your life on the line, put your hardest, be a monster. He doesn't have that.
Yeah,
that's why you can't expect that from that young guy.
But that's
Joe Judge, but y'all don't have that.
But that's either in you or it's not. That's either in you or it's not.
Thank you, Tess. Have a great
weekend. Marshawn was a goon from Oakland. You know what I mean? That was in him far before he got to the league.
Exactly. He was born that way.
And P. Ryan's from Florida, and you know how they roll. You
Stop
know,
it.
Football is life. So I'm assuming that he a goon too.
I'll tell you what though, that story you told though about Marshawn, that's a great story. That's a fantastic story.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.